Lord, we thank you, we bless you, we love you, we need you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the blueprint that tells us how to live, how to give, how to forgive, how to think, how to act, how to pray, how to love. It covers everything. Thank you, Lord. You didn't leave anything out. We don't have to guess about anything. Just have to search through your word. Your word actually says if anyone needs wisdom, that we ask of you and you give it to us generally, generously. Oh God, thank you. Give us your wisdom this morning. Holy Spirit, open our hearts and minds to receive your word. Today we thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto the path. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through a dark, fallen, dying, broken, dead, and decaying world. The Proverbs say that your word is light, it's a lamp, and it's life. Thank you for the life that's in your word, God. Thank you that it quickened our spirit. It brought us to life. Apart from you, we were dead in our sins and our trespasses. But your word, Jesus Christ, brought us life. And he said, now we can have it more abundantly, a complete, full life in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for doing for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. Speak to our hearts now. Make it plain. We don't want information. This is not a seminar. We don't want information. God, give us revelation that leads to transformation. Let us walk out of here and live this thing as transformed new creatures in Christ. We love you. We bless you. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So are you at 1 John chapter 9? We'll pick it up at verse 35. Say it again. Let's go John 9 and 35. Did I say that? Okay. John 9 and 35. That's where we'll pick it up. But I got to give you some notes before we start, and then we're just going to dive into the word, and then we'll be out of here. Amen? Okay, so with this whole chapter 9, we're gonna finish chapter 9. We've been on it for a while now, but here's the notes that you should have that I want to just try and make as plain as I can for you all, family. Number one, we see that every day is a divine day. This was a divine day filled with miracles. When the man born blind, when he woke up, he had no idea that he was going to be healed that day. So we see that every day is a divine day, but even in the midst of that divine day, it's filled with ups and downs. He was born blind so that the works of God can be seen and can be exposed, not because he was in some type of sin or his parents. Jesus proclaims to be the light of the world. He witnessed to his neighbors. Look what I'm saying. Through his miracle, he witnessed through his neighbors. The miracle of you and I waking up today, we got to witness to our neighbors. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hey, God woke me up today is all I need to tell him. Amen. Plant that seed. Maybe someone else will water it. God gives an increase. We can't take for granted that every day is a divine day. We discovered in the scriptures, it said, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it because it's a day that we've never seen before and we don't know what's going to happen today. So we rejoice and we're glad in it. So he witnessed to the neighbors because they're asking him all these questions. Then he witnessed to the religious folks because they were stuck in religion. Then he witnessed to his family, although his mom and dad rejected him. His mom and dad, I made a note, make a note of this. His mom and dad chose religion over a relationship with their son. They chose religion to stay stuck in religion and rejected their son, and he got kicked out, and they didn't. So we have to make sure that we choose relationship with Christ over religion. They chose religion, the rules, the tradition. The way it's always been, despite the miracles that God shows us every day. Despite the miracle and the evidence of the resurrection, people will still choose religion over relationship. Then he preached his first sermon. Then he got rejected. Then God found him. I made a note on that too. Let me see, where is it? Where Jesus found him. Say that Jesus found him. Jesus heard that he had been kicked out and then Jesus found him. Make a note, those are action words, those are verbs. Jesus, then make a note that Jesus pursues us. Because I don't think I'm the only one in here, but I might be. But the first time I heard the gospel, I didn't want to have nothing to do with it. But then God didn't give up. He sent somebody else. And I told them to get lost. But I wasn't that nice about it. Somebody say amen. And then he sent somebody else, and he sent somebody else. Action words. Jesus heard and then he found. These are action. He pursues us. Oh, somebody can rejoice in that, right? He didn't give up. Say, okay, let him go. I'm going to turn him over to a reprobate mind. Let him just do his own thing and see how that winds up for him in the end. Or her. Jesus heard and then he found him.
Yes, he did.
Then he trusted God. Then he worshiped God. And then he found out he's going to be judged by God. Ooh, woo. As we sum up the chapter. So we pick it up in verse 35. Told you, Jesus heard, underline heard, that when they cast him out and when he had found, heard and found. Jesus heard and found. Those are two actions. He went after him. He said unto him, can you trust me? Make a note. Somebody's asking Jesus this. Jesus is asking somebody this morning. In the midst of all that you're going through, even at your high point, even in the midst of your success and things are going well, you still need to trust God. Somebody say amen. Because those of us that have been on the top, trust me, it's a thin line between the top and the bottom. So even when things are going well, God wants to know, can you trust me? And definitely when they're not going so well. He asked him, look, you've been rejected by your family. You've just been kicked out of the temple. But it's just amazing how even in the best day, he was born blind. Now he can see. And some kind of way people can mess up your best day. Religious folks and haters can mess up your best day. I mean, I don't think anything could be worse than a miracle of being born blind. Now he's able to see and then get kicked out and rejected. In the midst of your miracle, people can mess up your best day. You already know. Family, and we still got to just keep moving through it. Somebody say amen. Amen. And that's why Jesus said, when people mess up your best day, when you go to work tomorrow and they all hating on you and there's no reason, well, maybe not tomorrow. Some of us are off tomorrow. When you go on Tuesday, maybe tomorrow you with family and they hating on you, okay? Jesus said, can you trust me? Can you trust me? All right. I'm trying to keep my, but every time I go over this, it's just, you know, family, I'm called to preach to y'all, right? And God wants to know, can you trust me today? He's asking somebody. We talk about the divine encounter that he had with all these folks. He was witnessing to all these folks the power of God. Yes, it was a miracle that healed him, but as he went through, he's witnessing to all these folks. Use your miracle to witness to folks. Use your story to witness to folks. Then we have the no, don't let your flesh mess up your divine day and your divine encounter. Don't you mess it up by letting your flesh preventing you from seeing the divine encounters and take the joy out of each day and every divine day in Christ. We can mess it up by getting the flesh and angry and lust and everything else involved, and it becomes just a lower level encounter as opposed to a divine encounter. We talked yesterday in the men's discipleship class about pop-ups. When you're having the best day and something pop up that you don't even expect, and then all of a sudden it's trying to ruin your divine day. Amen. Well, yeah, I'm not going into detail. That's between the men and I. But we got pop-ups that happen. And you got to keep your composure in the midst of the pop-up and trust God. And don't get caught up in your flesh and being upset and chasing people down and going off and cussing people. We got to stay composed in the pop-ups. Why? Because we have the Spirit of God in us. And so we have to tap into it. But can we trust God in the midst of the pop-ups?
Yes.
Verse 36, he asked, Lord, who am I that I might believe on him? And Jesus said, it is, you've both seen him, and I'm talking with you right now. Then we get to verse 38. I absolutely love verse 38. He said, Lord, I trust you, and he worshiped him. Make a note. He worshiped God because of his healing. He worshiped God because of his salvation. He worshiped God because he changed and transformed his life and gave him a purpose, which is to make disciples and to preach the gospel, which he did in verses, 30 through 33. You should have in your notes that we have to worship something. We're built to worship. So you got to worship something. I'm suggesting that you worship Jesus Christ only. Appreciate other things, respect other things, but you worship God only. I mean, I have it in my notes. It says, please don't worship anyone or anything or any team that can lose, die, or disappoint you. Don't worship anything or anyone that can lose, die, or disappoint you. Somebody say amen. Amen. We trust God based on our facts and not our feelings. We have to be led by the Spirit of God, not religious folks, not other people's opinion, and not organized religion. We stay close to Christ through a relationship and with Christ, praying, fasting daily. So God is speaking to this man right here. He's speaking to someone's heart this morning. He's speaking to somebody's heart this morning saying, can you trust me and can you worship me? So we went on a journey of worship last week. Make a note, your worship should include, Lord, I trust you. God, you've done so much for me. I will worship you. Let me say it again. When we're singing worship songs, you're lifting your hands and you're saying, Lord, I love you. I trust you. You've done so much for me. I will worship you. Amen. And that's between you and God. And worship is more than a song. Worship is more than a hands lifted. Worship is more than your mouth moving. It's a heart-to-heart connection with God. Amen. We went through it last week in Matthew. I just want to go through just briefly. And if you're taking notes, you should have this in your notes. But I added just a little bit more to it. In Matthew 4 and 10, Jesus makes it clear that we should worship God and God only. Then make a note that Jesus allowed this man to worship him, so we indirectly see or directly see that Jesus is God. And that's why they killed him, by the way, because he professed to be God. And the penalty for professing to be God and you're not is death. So that's why they killed him, because he did claim to be God. He allowed people to worship him. In Matthew 8 and 2, the leper, which was a man, worshiped God for healing. Matthew 9, 18, it was another man. He was a ruler. He was a leader. He worshiped Christ on behalf of his daughter, behalf of his kids. So here we go. When the worship music is playing, I'm lifting my hands or I'm lifting my heart. And I'm asking God to heal my body, my mind, my broken heart, my broken spirit. And I'm praying for my daughters during worship. In Matthew 14, 33, the men worship Christ because of his protection. I'm asking God to cover me and protect me and my family and everyone around me. So when the worship music is playing, you're not just looking around. You're worshiping God specifically on behalf of your family, your daughter, your kids, your siblings, your protection, your church family. Matthew 15, 25, a woman worshiped Christ and asked for help for her daughter and for the Gentiles and for other people. Matthew 20, 20, the woman worshiped Christ and she asked for a particular thing for her sons. Matthew 28:9, the women worship Christ, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, and they worship and they just rejoice because he resurrected. Yes. Somebody say amen. When you wake up in the morning, just throw your hands up and worship Christ because he resurrected. Then in Matthew 28:17, the disciples worship Christ in the midst of other doubting disciples. Isn't that something? You still got to worship even when others who claim to be Christians are doubting and hating and trying to tell you that God ain't in it. Or if God was God, why would he allow this to happen? Family, we still got to worship in the midst of the doubting disciples. So here's a revelation. Worship God and go and fulfill your Christ-given purpose to make disciples. It's more than lifting our hands and singing a song. It's trusting God 100% with every aspect of your life. Let me say it again. Worshiping God is trusting God with 100% of every aspect of your life. So this man's day was interrupted by a miracle of God. So if you're praying for someone, pray that God would interrupt their day with a miracle that would lead to a transform and change life. Let me say it again. So those of you who've been praying for family members, you've been praying for friends and coworkers and your kids. Just pray in your morning prayer time and your worship time. And I'm telling you, you only have to give God 5 minutes a day. Start there. Family, I can't tell you how profound it is to wake up every day and give God 5 minutes. And don't get this confused with religion. We're not talking about you got to take 10 steps and then you got to pray and then you got to. Yeah, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, look, God, I need you. It's just too much going on. And beg for his wisdom. Oh, my gosh. Where was I? Let me take a detour really quickly. Here we are. Proverbs 8. Who's that back with me? Brother Chris, take me to Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8 and 11. Family, make a note of this. And I've challenged us to read the Proverbs every morning. Because of the wisdom of God, I'm telling you, why are you leaving? When you leave your house without begging for the wisdom of God, God, fill me with your spirit today and give me your wisdom. Because I don't just want to go out on Carter's wisdom, because that ain't going to get me too far. No, that's what I'm doing when I just go out on my wisdom. And you go, you're just going out with your, and that's okay. I mean, it's gotten you this far. I don't know how it's worked out for you. It hasn't worked out well for me. But it's not a religious thing. It's like, God, you know what? I'm going to encounter. And I pray over my whole day. God, okay, I got to go there. I got to deal with this. I got to deal with that. And I pray specifically, right? I used to just pray for traveling grace. Now I pray for traveling grace and a parking space. All right? I'm telling you. I'm white because you get traveling grace is there and there's nowhere to park. Sister Terry, I'm telling you. So now I'm like, Lord, and I'm telling y'all, man, I don't be wasting my time. I'm praying for traveling grace in a parking space, and I get there, and guess what's there, Sister Stephanie? A parking space. I'm like, Lord, I'm telling y'all. This ain't no religious thing. I'm like, God, I need some help today. And especially if you're like me, where you might just be running a little bit late. Okay, I need everything to go right so I can make it on time. I need traveling grace and a parking space, okay? And I get there and walk in, praise the Lord. How you doing, yes? So I'm not talking about a religious thing. Specific prayer. I'm praying for everything. And God, give me your wisdom. Why? For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Whatever you think you want has Can't even come close to the wisdom of God. So why am I walking into this meeting without the wisdom of God? Because I need to know, God, give me discernment. Give me favor. Give me your wisdom. What to say, what not to say, how to sit back, how to be quiet. I need everything. When I talk to my wife, when I talk to my kids, JL called me last night. And by the way, she told me, said, Dad, tell them all I said hello. All right. She's looking forward to getting back here during Thanksgiving. And I'm praying, God, give me wisdom to talk to her. And she just wants to talk to Dad. And I'm trying to go through my Saturday night routine, but I know God give me wisdom because I need to talk to her. And she said, Dad, how do you? I mean, like a deep question. I'm trying to watch a fight. You know, that's my thing. I watch kind of like I have fights taped. And so, I, you know, because I got to come and beat up the devil. You know what I'm saying? So I'm looking at, you know, I got to, you got, yeah, you got to bob and weave, you know. Because you bob when you should have been weaving, you get knocked out. Okay, so I'm praying for wisdom. I'm trying to, oh yeah, that's cool. And y'all get pumped up. And she, you know, she said, Dad, so you never told me how you feel about me being 18 and living it. And I had, but see, I guess she wanted to hear it again. Right? I know. So God gave me wisdom. She wants affirmation from Dad. And I told her how proud I am of her. And how people would want to trade places with her to be in college, to be on her own, to be making good grades, to have love and support of a church family. And I just told her, so I had to, God, give me wisdom to talk to my daughter. Because I had to read between the lines to see, why is she calling Dad on a Saturday night? You're not going to any parties tonight? No, I'm not going to no parties tonight, Dad. I'm just kind of kicking back. Okay. But tomorrow night, I'm like, how you go to a party on a Sunday? Right? So she said, I said, well, you going to party on Sunday? Well, Dad, is no school Monday. Oh, yeah. That's right. Okay. So you know I'm praying already. You know what I'm saying? But folks, that's what I'm telling you. I don't have time to be playing around with this thing. I got to pray for all the aspects of what where God is leading us. I got to pray for my daughter, my son, little man who called in, Jay, she'll call from New York. It's 9 o'clock our time, which means it's 12 o'clock their time. Jay, are you serious? But no, hey Dad, I just want to talk. But it's midnight. God, give me wisdom. See, I can't play with this. And it's not a religious thing. It's every morning, God, I need your wisdom, because it's a lot going on. Make a note of that. As I was reading that on the 8th a couple of days ago, it just, it's nothing that you can desire. I don't know what you are desiring, but whatever it is, it can't be compared to the wisdom of God. And see, what the wisdom of God does, it gives it to us. We get the wisdom so we can enjoy all that we do desire. Because if you don't have the wisdom of God and you're getting all this stuff, all you're going to do is self-destruct. Become arrogant and pride filled with pride and all this other kind of stuff. And it's like, really? We see it all the time. But the wisdom of God, the Holy Spirit, makes all the difference in the world. So now we get serious, okay? I set y'all up to get serious, all right? Let me see. Okay, because I said we're going to finish this, right? So I'm saying during your prayer time, 5 minutes a day, cut on your worship song. I have one song that's 10 minutes long. And so I know when that song is up that, okay, if I got it, or either if I got extra time, I'll play it twice. I'm the type of person that I'll listen to that song 10 times in a row. I know some people are like, oh man, not that song again. Yeah, that's what the kids say. Dad, you listen. Yeah, that's me though, you know? I'm listening to my song. I'm in my quiet time, okay? This is what enters me in, okay? Leave me alone. It's 10 minutes long. So I know, okay, I got 20 minutes of prayer time before I got to get out of here and, you know, move to the next. So I listen to it twice. Find you a beautiful worship song. Maybe it's 5 minutes if that's all you have. And you get in, I'm telling you, it's life changing. And we're talking every day. Because you know what? You need God every day. So this is not a play thing. It's a relationship. This is not the religion. This is a relationship with Christ. And watch God transform your heart, your mind, and your life. This is why. Verse 39. Jesus said for judgment. 9:39. Jesus said for judgment, I have come into the world. Underline that. Oh my gosh. See, now we're going to have a choice. Now we're going to be without excuse. Jesus comes in, he sets it straight. He set this whole miracle up just to let them know, I'm coming to judge y'all. that they which see might not see, and they which see might be made blind. So I wrote a paraphrase for that. Let me give you the paraphrase. Was that 39? Okay. Here's what Jesus is saying. He came in for judgment, verse 39. Those who are humble enough to receive and trust in Christ will be able to see and worship and have a relationship with Christ. And those who are proud and arrogant and choose not to humble themselves will not be able to see Christ at all. That's what he's saying in verse 39. Let me read it again. Those who are humble enough to receive and trust in Christ will be able to see and worship and have a relationship with Christ. Those who are proud, arrogant, ignorant, and choose not to humble themselves will not be able to see Christ at all. And then look what some of the Pharisees said in verse 39. So look, this whole thing is set up. All these Pharisees are around. They saw him worship God. They're listening to this conversation. And then some of the Pharisees, which were with him, heard these words. And they said, so wait a minute. Are we blind also? See how the word of God is penetrating their heart. Stick to the word. Don't get into opinions. Stick to the word. You go down such a rabbit hole with opinions. Stick to the word. Amen. So this guy wants to know, are we blind? And so are you saying that because of my pride and my arrogance and I've set up these walls of religion, that I can't have a relationship with Christ? It's exactly what Christ is saying. And look how it's to play on words. Jesus, he heals the man born blind and allows him to see. And then he says, they which see not, might see, get it? And that they which see might be made blind. Look how the irony in that whole statement, as he's healed a man that was born blind. But here's what I want to focus on just for a few minutes. Verse 39, underline the word judgment. The word judgment speaks of in the Greek, it speaks of a court of law. It speaks of forensic evidence. Anybody else a fan of Forensic Files? All right, if you get a chance, check it out. Forensic evidence. In other words, you make a note, it says that God knows your DNA. here we go. So we know that no one gets away with anything. So here's the revelation. Jesus is going to judge everyone on a forensic level. We're talking blood evidence. Get it? Somebody say amen. The blood of the Lamb. You're going to be judged on forensic evidence. Your DNA, God knows everything about you, your fingerprints, your DNA. And we're talking spiritually now, not physically. We're talking about your spiritual fingerprints, your spiritual motives. What was the motive behind this? Your spiritual DNA and everything else that makes you unique. Jesus will examine it and determine if there's enough evidence to determine if you are truly covered by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Amen. See, with this type of forensic examination, we're not going to be able to hide anything. And we can't hide behind anything either. Amen. If you're not covered, if it's not covered by the blood of the Lamb, it's going to be exposed by the forensic judgment examination. So then I ask the question, is there enough evidence to convict you as a Christian? It's going to be a very bad day for those who choose not to receive and worship Christ. Make a note. Here's the other revelation God gave me. Christ came into the world to give people a choice. People can choose to worship Christ or be judged by Christ. Now we have a choice. All right, Pastor, what are you saying? Hey, all right, this is what I'm saying. Let's go to Luke, Brother Chris, let's go to Luke 13. So now we're talking about judgment. Oh, Pastor, I know. I set you up to go deep. Christ said he's coming to the world to judge. Luke 13, 1 through 5. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed or mingled with their sacrifice. So they were false worshipers, making all kind of false sacrifices. Pilate, the king, he killed them, mixed their blood with whatever sacrifice they were making. Jesus answered and said unto them, suppose that the Galileans were sinners, more or above all the Galileans because they suffered such things, right? Then Jesus said, no, I tell you not, but except you repent, you're going to perish likewise. So it's like we see something happen in the news and people get killed. Oh, yeah, they, you know, those type of people, they deserve, you know, that's what they were. Jesus said, oh, you think so, huh? I'm telling you this. If you don't repent, this is the judgment. It's not about them. It's about you. Verse 4, are those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them? You think they were sinners above all the men that dwelt in Jerusalem? Yeah, they deserved it, right? Verse 5, I tell you no, but except you repent, you're going to perish likewise. So we're looking at everybody else, and God's saying, you keep thinking that. You're comparing yourself to the wrong person. Compare yourself to Christ. That's what I'm comparing you to, and unless you repent, you're going to have some issues. Say, Pastor, I don't know, show me some more. Okay, let's go to Romans 14. Romans 14 and 7. So it's telling us that judgment is coming. Christ came to give us a choice. Verse 7, for 14 and 7, for none of us live to himself, and no man dieth to himself. All right. So whether you live or you die, you got to deal with God. That's what it says in verse 8. For whether we live, we live unto the Lord, and whether we die, we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Either way, you got to deal with the Lord in life and in death. And why? Verse 9. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and resurrected, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Make a note. You think you're going to die and get away from God, and you're going to die and run right into him. That's why he told him in John, he said, look, I've come to judge, that judgment might come. I'm telling you, it's a day coming. Verse 10, but why do you judge your brother? So he's saying, or why do you set it not? Or why you despise your brother? Underline this, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We shall all stand before the judgment, the forensic examination seat of Christ. So I'm all worried about you. I'm worried about the little piece of sawdust in your eye. I got the big log in my eye. I'm all concerned about everybody else. I'm concerned about the president. I'm concerned about this. I'm saying, look, man, you need to cut that out. It, titles don't matter. Everybody's going to stand before God, and we're going to see that in just a minute. Stop worrying about other folks. Make sure you're connected to Christ. Don't get caught up in what this satanic system of deception is presenting. We want to reduce God to the color of somebody's skin. Are you serious? You're going to stand before God and it's not going to have nothing to do with it. Not the skin, just the sin. It's going to be a rude awakening for some people. We all going to get the forensic examination by Christ. Verse 11, for it is written, as I live, said the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Verse 12, underline it. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So really, you know, I love y'all and y'all know I care about what y'all do, but I really do. I really don't. But I know I got to get myself together. Because I can't say, well, you know, Lord, my grandmother, she was a great old woman, and you know she served you. He's going to say, yeah, but what about you? But Lord, didn't I prophesy in your name and I cast eyes? No, let's get past all this stuff. Where was your heart at? I do the forensic examination. I look for motives. I look for DNA. I'm looking at your spiritual fingerprint. It was all rotten. I go way past the surface. Amen. I can't hide. He said he's coming here for judgment. Verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. So cut it out. All right. We are fruit inspectors. We can look at your fruit and see that it's rotten. You have no evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in your life. But I ain't going to say nothing. I'm going to just look at it and I'm going to just keep moving. Because that ain't my job. Because I got to stand before God too. I might hint at get it together, but hey, that's on you. But this is what's on me. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this. Rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. In other words, don't you be the reason that I'm sinning. Don't you call me at 1 a.m. and say, Pastor, Pastor, I need you to come pray for me at 1 a.m. I'm not coming. Don't you be the reason that somebody else is getting caught up. We're going to watch Netflix and chill, Sister Roy. Okay, come on over. My wife's out of town. Come on over and watch Netflix and chill. Okay? That's all we're going to do. He's saying you can get off all this. You just make sure you're not the one that's causing somebody to stumble, to sin, to get caught up. That's what it says. To stop judging people, you just need to worry up, deal with yourself, and stop getting people caught up in your sin. Oh, now let's finish it off then. Let's finish it off. We're finished with Jesus is the light of the world. He is. But he said that light's come to judge. And you got to deal with it. He healed. He delivered. He set free. And now he has to judge. You can't tell him he doesn't understand. He had to hang on that cross. And while we're yet sinners, he died for us. You don't know what it's like to go through pain, God. You don't know what it's like to see your kid die. Well, hold up. I watched my son die who was completely innocent for you who didn't even care about him. It's no excuse. So then we get to Revelation 20:11. And then we're going to wrap this up. If you're there, say amen. Amen. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them to hide. Right? Because it's a forensic examination. You're not hiding behind anything. You can't. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Make a note. That's everybody. Titles eliminated. You standing before God now. So here's what you have to be careful of, because people tell you that all roads lead to God. Oh, that is true, because they do. But all of them don't lead to eternal life. Amen. In paradise with God. And remember the other one, we're all brothers and sisters. No, we're not. You have the family of God, and you have the family of Satan. The scriptures are clear about that. But all roads do, according to the scripture right here, all roads lead to God. But they all don't lead to eternal life in paradise with Christ. Amen. So just be specific. Oh, yeah, well, I think all religions, well, actually, they kind of do lead to God. But then there's going to be a judgment. Oh, well, let me read the scripture. So it's not even, you know, I don't even have to make this stuff up. Verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works, according to their deeds, according to their actions. That could be good, bad, or ugly. Somebody say amen. And for most of us, it's all three. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So we stand before God. The books are open. The book of life. Once you accept Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, your name's written in the book of life. And if your name's not written in that book of life, because of our pride and our arrogance and our ignorance and we choose not to worship Christ and not to have a relationship with Christ, then we're cast into the lake of fire, and that is forever. Jesus said, I came in, I healed, delivered, I set free, and now I'm going to judge. And as we see in the scriptures, everybody has to deal with that. All right, let's wrap this up. Go back to John 9 and 39. In the Greek, when it speaks of being blind, it compares it literally to being mentally and physically in a thick cloud of smoke. You can't see anything. Verse 39, and Jesus said, for judgment I've come into the world, that they which see might see not might see, and they that which see might be made blind. This came in for judgment. It's given us a choice. The Pharisees and some of the Pharisees, not all of them, but some, are we blind? Verse 40, and Jesus said, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say we see, therefore your sin remains. And I paraphrase that for us too. If you were humble and contrite and your heart was broken because of the sin in your life and you didn't know, then your sin's covered. But because of your lies and your pride and your refusal to humble yourself, your sin is still there. If you were humble and contrite and you really didn't know, then you would not have any sin. But because of your lies and your pride and your refusal to be humble, your sin remains. And that's what he told the Pharisees. Have to humble ourselves and receive Christ as our Lord and Savior. Look at 10. Chris, take us to 10. John 10 and 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And that's what we're going to pick up next week. So if you would, we're going to play just a worship song. And as we're worshiping, I just want you to just let the Lord just minister to your heart. Just ask God, if you haven't accepted Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, then now is the time. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Take over my life and help make me the person you created me to be. Just do that in the quietness of your heart. Or if you need to rededicate your life, the scriptures say that we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's not a religious thing. It's a relationship thing. So if you never ask Christ into your heart, then just ask him, God, come in, come take over. I'm not going to resist you. I'm going to humble myself. And if you need to rededicate your life, just ask God to, God, help me get it together. Help me to just judge myself and do the best I can for you. Every morning, worshiping and praying. Surrendering your heart and your life to Christ for transformation. Thank you, Lord. Speak to our hearts now, Lord, because you've always been there. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord.